Hello and welcome to Advisor Gold, the missing allocation, the show where financial professionals learn the why, how, and what to help their clients own physical gold and silver. This podcast is designed to complement the training at goldandsilveradvisors.com. I'm your host, Kerry Morris, and I work with clients and run a financial planning practice every day. We've used physical metals in our financial plans for nearly a decade. I'm here with my co-host and friend, Ryan Long, second generation in the gold and silver business and president of National Gold Consultants, which only promotes their business through a large advisor network. If you're a consumer listening to this podcast, welcome. This is not financial, legal, or tax advice. It's education, folks, and you're welcome to have your advisor reach out to us, or you can email us directly with your questions. In this episode, we answer the question, how pricing actually works and the best way to talk about it with your clients. This is a more conceptual conversation with detailed language that will help you in every client interaction about gold and silver. Now, here's my conversation with Ryan. Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is Kerry and my co-host, Ryan Long. Today, we're going to answer the question, how pricing actually works and the best way to communicate that to your clients. So, Ryan, you know, this is kind of an ongoing topic, right? This is an ongoing conversation. Advisors continue to write sometimes or text right before a client review and things like that. And so today, everybody, we're in the context here of you as an advisor. How do you communicate that to your clients? But you have to first always keep it in your mind how pricing actually works. So let's talk about that, Ryan, from a standpoint of, I believe we're approaching this from a standpoint of the relationship of like spot to physical and spot physical to the market. We're kind of bringing that. We've done this before about spot versus physical, but today we're kind of taking a different approach on it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we can, you know, Kerry, you mentioned a couple phase approach. And so we need to look at this as a new client that you're talking to about precious metals and how you bring that up to them, but also an already established client that you have that you're bringing to an annual review and you're going to be presenting to them how all of their other assets are performing, right, Kerry?
Yeah, that's right. Because we all get in the situation, especially if you're an advisor that's used to using a lot of charts. And, you know, I mean, I know I used to use charts ad nauseum, you know, way too many charts, Ryan, way too many. And then I went through an experience of about a year and a half in a group where I learned that really in today's world, that was so overwhelming to clients.
Yeah.
And the clients would really rather me just, yeah, I can have kind of my basic sheet. I use what we call a blueprint, and it has their accounts there and their current values. And we can kind of have our income plan there and some all kind of little stuff. It's all presented on one page. That's the key for me, is that it's all on one page. Clients get familiar with it and it becomes their document. So each of you listening to this today has some form of that, right? There's some way that you converse with clients on an annual review or in the beginning, like Ryan said, because guess what? The reason he said that is the language is basically the same. You're right. In an annual review, first of all, you're going to repeat the same stuff that you first talked about it when gold and silver is brought up. And so that positioning that you anchor to in the very first conversations with gold and silver about any client or any prospect, those same anchor positions that you use in concepts and ideas that you put in the client's mind, then it's the same thing you're going to pull back up and anchor to in that annual review. Why, Ryan? Because it's the truth.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, Kerry. I mean, you mentioned the charts that you used to do in nausea years ago, but there are a few select type of client groups that are going to want that, right? So we're not trying to discredit any sort of charts, but the majority, you know, say the non-engineer type folks, they're wanting to see a whole clear overall picture, not what has gold and silver done in the last 2 years or 5 years, because in retrospect, it doesn't matter. I get questions often. Hey, Ryan, is it a good time to buy gold and silver right now? And the answer I give is, well, do you have your proper 10 to 15%? If you do, then yeah, you might want to look at some possible dollar cost averaging and buying that proverbial dip. But if you don't have that 10 to 15% already, yeah, every time's a great time to buy right now in order to have that proper balance of your overall portfolio.
Yeah, because we're talking about a long-term allocation here. This is an asset class that the client, we believe, just needs to own long-term. So one reason you guys were talking so much about charts is because we're going to show you one today, right? And so just to be clear, it's not that I don't look at tons of charts. I still have all those charts, Ryan.
But yep. It's just that I don't necessarily need to share them with the client. So I pack it in me, and then I'm able to articulate that in a simple way to just explain the trends to them. And I think that's really what advisors are looking for when they ask for that, is they're saying, hey, what's the trends? What can I talk about? What's my talking points on gold and silver? And so we're gonna show you that today. So the chart I'm about to bring up here, it's for you. It's to take you through it, so you've got this in your mind. And like he said, you know what, an engineer's never seen a chart or spreadsheet he didn't love, right? But you do what you want with this information. But we want to kind of take you for a moment, kind of into a chart that's going to show spot price versus the Dow. And we've got different time periods up here. Right now, we have 5 years selected because that seems to be a question that Ryan's been getting a lot as far as what's been going on the last couple of years. So just to orient ourselves here, again, this is the Dow Jones versus in blue. So the Dow's in blue. This is a five-year look, and gold is in what I call orange. But so that's what we see here. And as you, just to orient you a little bit more, right here is December of 2019, and we all know what happened after that.
Right. You know, you got your lovely COVID type of things. But Kerry, I like showing this 5 year type of a chart to some of my more analytical clients instead of going back 10 years, 20 years, 30, because the past decade or two, it really doesn't matter what gold and silver has done. You know, when you look at the stimulus that we printed just in that 2020, and, you know, this is not to step in from the advisor training we have at goldandsilveradvisors.com, but the $3 trillion that we printed in 3 months versus the $3 trillion over the previous 5 years, it's a reckoning stage. There's a reason why you see the gold and orange jump the way it's doing, because of the monetary supply increased. So it's an important thing to have in our back of our minds. Yeah.
So you just referenced this time period, right? That's the 20-year look. So, you know, you can see that's, if it's a long-term hold, long-term allocation, that's the 20-year that Ryan's referring to.
Yep. So we get this question a lot of what's, you know, can I show my clients what gold and silver has done over the last, you know, say 1 to 2 years? And my initial response is always, why would you want to do that? But but to unpack this a little further, Kerry, there's, you know, we've talked about this in other podcasts about spot price versus physical, but let me dip in that pond a little bit and get in the weeds just slightly on that. These charts are not going to be showing the actual, you know, real deal, what's happening behind the scenes. When China buys another 20 tons of gold, and Russia's doing it too, and this has nothing to do with the spot price, which is very, it is unreflective of that spot price. Physical is the major driver behind the scenes that is not going to be shown here, such as you can see in 2020, we have a little bit of a blip of gold going down with the markets, right? Right during that recession type period of time. Well, what happened during that time? Well, physical actually increased instead of decreased with that spot price. So there's just a large difference between the two that, not to try to get, you know, mud in the water here, but that's at least
we're getting in the mud right here, and this is a training, you know, as you guys heard, that this is to supplement the training. So what Ryan's saying is that physical did not take that dip and actually came on up to, how high should I go here, because I know it went on, it kept going, right? So we'll just call it here, right?
Sure.
And then it's kind of moved on across here while all this craziness has been going on, right?
It's been doing what it's supposed to be doing. I mean, you see these blips towards the end of your chart there of gold and also the Dow declining. Well, the physical prices have not declined during that time. You know, unless we see a long-term, you know, demand that is on the short side of things, physical does not decline. The spot price can have all its noise it wants, but until there's a long-term, you know, excess of supply, that, you know, the difference between physical and paper are going to stay relatively high.
So just to review what you just said, brother, look, he's talking about this spot price, this orange line just went down right here, right? That's what you're talking about, right?
Yep.
But physical didn't, you know? Correct. So again, these are, you don't even need to get in the weeds like this with your client. We're just showing this so you can know and have conviction, because if you're doing client reviews regularly, and you're reporting a value, you might call Ryan's office to get that value or talk to him, et cetera. I don't know how you do that, but it's okay for you to do that once a year to get that value. And you're going to kind of have a feeling of what's going on with that across the board. So,
yeah.
What else about this chart do we need to bring out?
One thing that, Carrie, you exclusively do, and numerous other advisors do that as well, every quarter or so, they shoot, you know, my office or myself an email and ask for, you know, prices of both physical metal and also paper metal. So you can see that disconnect, because then when you are sitting down with an annual review, you have a relative idea of, you know, what the actual value is your clients are holding. So let's just say, you know, Carrie, you have a target 10% of this $1 million portfolio starts off at $100,000. You're doing this review and you're showing the other baskets of money that they have, then they can get an updated idea of where their metals are sitting at too, without getting into these charts and getting into the weeds further with your client.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anything else on here before we move on? What else stands out to you, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, nothing major, Carrie. It's just, you know, again, that question we get is, now a good time to buy gold and silver? Well, until they stop the printing presses, until they stop the easy money, historically speaking, gold and silver is going to continue to rise, right?
So, Ryan, this was a good look at the last 5 years. But, you know, what a client really cares about is sitting there in that annual review too, is like, okay, what about the next 10? What about the next 20 years? How can I prepare for that? So if we look at a 20-year look here, we see that, you know, gold is what it's done over the last 20 years. We know what the market's done. The market had two big downs and then a big run, but really kind of artificially produced, right? Yep. With a lot of, you know, we've got other content on that. We don't have to get on that. Well, let's take a quick look at the Guggenheim chart. If you're an advisor and you haven't seen this, then I recommend you take a look. So here we are. We're still with the Dow Jones, still sticking with the Dow. And these last two blocks over here, so just to say, this is secular bulls and bears the last 125 years. Secular means a longer period of up or a longer period of down, which is really what actually impacts people's retirements more than short little micro cycles that Wall Street and the talking heads on TV want to keep you focused on. And so these last two sections, this last burgundy section starts at 2000. And this gray section ends in 2021, 12/31 at the end of 21. So that's our 20-year look. So here's what the Dow's done. And it's basically the same, the blue line on the previous chart. Well, we could ask our kids, you know, what's the next color that's going to happen? And I think my 4-year-old would say, okay, you know, gray. He would probably say red, Dad, or whatever color he's going to call that, right? And so the thing is we may get some more up there, but more than likely at some point, which we're already hearing some of the saber rattling of recession and it, you know, the Fed's backed into a corner. You know, it's kind of like they back in 2008, they started lowering interest rates, lower. They shot that gun till it was out of ammunition. And then printing money was the other big bazooka they picked up, right? Pun intended. And boom, 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 fired that. And then of course the impending inflation finally came, with the price inflation followed the monetary inflation that we saw from increasing the money supply. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, right? They're having to raise interest rates. And we all know if they printed a bunch of stimulus right now, I mean, is it not going to be like throwing gasoline on the inflation fire? Back to gold and silver. We saw how gold and silver behaved even in the first decade of this two periods here, this first 10 years, and even how it behaved. Let me go back to that. So we can see how it had one big peak in 2011 off of that first, kind of settled out for a bit. Stimulus is going up, market's cranking, so it's kind of settling. It's doing its job, right? It's that counterbalance. And then it makes its other run here because there was just, the beach ball was held under the water that whole time, as we like to say. And so there it is, you know, here we are. Now, what's gold and silver going to do in the next 10 or 20 years? I'll answer that by saying what I normally say to clients. Let's segue over to, I'll just say, if I'm doing an annual review with the client and we kind of get to that section where we're going to touch on gold and silver, well, let's see how the gold and silver is doing. First thing I say is it's doing its job. In the next 10 or 20 years, it's going to do its job. Continue to do that regardless of what happens. So I'll say, well, it's been doing its job, you know, as the market went, and if we think back to like the last couple of years, when the market crashed with COVID, physical went up and it kept going up. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, went up quite a bit actually, compared to what was going on in the market. We don't always get that instant counterbalance. You know, right. I like to always say that it happens over a season a lot of times. And then of course, this year, we've seen our physical being pre-33 or even the IRA metals just stay right there every step of the way and held those values up. And so clients are seeing that and they're like, okay, yeah, I get it. It doesn't matter that it's not shooting to the moon. You know, it's still right. holding right there. And what happens next? One of two things is going to happen, right, Ryan? Either the market's going to continue to go down and we're going to have some kind of long drug out recession, which at some point demand could hit in gold and silver that it does drive up to another bubble. Mm-hmm. Or if some miracle happens and the market really recovers much, much better than what we think, then metals probably are going to just keep hanging right there. That's my right. thoughts. But hey, who am I, right? I'm just a guy who's trying to do the best for clients here. What's your thoughts on that, Ryan?
Well, Kerry, I think we need to hit home a couple talking nuggets that you mentioned. You know, okay. And the first nugget when you're talking of your reviews with your clients, you're not boring them with, hey, it's done this X amount of return in the last few years, or it's done this, or maybe it's down 10%. You're saying it's doing its job. Because as soon as you start talking, oh yeah, it's gone up 50% in the last couple of years. The natural response to a client is, oh, should we sell? You know, let's capture our gains. And it's so going back to the, you want to keep it as just general as possible. It's a generalization, not this investment mindset. Okay, so the mindset of your clients, the proper positioning. The second thing I wanted to unpack, Kerry, is, you know, not looking at this short term of what it's done the last couple of years. Can I see a 3-year chart or a 5-year chart or what's it done for me recently? No, when you're looking at retirement, they're looking at their next 10 to 20 years. The most famous quote, and I know, Kerry, I've told this to you many times, that I love, is from Wayne Gretzky when he was retiring. Yeah. And he was with reporters and the reporters asked him and said, what made you so great during your career? And Wayne goes, well, it's not me talking lightly about teammates or other colleagues that are moving where the puck is right now. I'm going to where the puck is going to be. And that's the best position to be into. So when you start looking at the Guggenheim chart and go, you know, burgundy gray, fourth grade math, you know, 4-year-old math, all of that stuff. I mean, we can only predict what it's going to do in general or in more of a generic type of a form, but looking at it as, hey, it's doing what it's supposed to do and it's going to do what it's supposed to do. And that's why we have to have its position. Those are the terminologies, Kerry, that we need to instill in our conversations.
That's right. So because we're trying to protect clients and maintain their lifestyle regardless of what happens. So right. that's the whole reason why we believe in a 10 to 15% allocation of physical gold and silver to begin with, because it's just an asset class that has proven to behave. So when you were talking about the first point there, Ryan, I thought about behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what we're trying to get, is the behavior of the physical metal versus the behavior of the market, along with maybe FIA, life insurance. What it all has to work together, you guys. This is not a silo. And so we feel like it's the best way to do it. So it is going to behave a certain way. And that it goes back to that counterbalance. So the last thing I'll say is just back to my original comments, is that everything we've talked about is really part of your original positioning conversation with a client.
Right.
Same thing you teach them in the first 20 minutes of your conversations about this is the same principles as you're going to talk about in your annual review. And yeah, you're going to touch on, okay, here's where we're at right now. But, you know, in a way, like you say, Ryan, it doesn't matter. You know, it matters, but it doesn't matter in the sense that we're just kind of taking a peek in on it. It doesn't mean we're assessing it to make a change. And we certainly aren't, you know, caught up in price this month or price last year or that. We just want to know, is it behaving correctly? And if not, why?
Yep.
Right. Because every time I've seen it not do what I maybe thought it should be doing at the moment, there was a valid reason going on somewhere else in the marketplace that was causing that. And then it was just a matter of time. So that's my thoughts.
No, I mean, I think this is good, Kerry. I mean, we're uncovering, you know, how pricing works. I mean, there is a difference, obviously, between physical and an ETF, and the ETFs, these charts are not going to reflect that. So I almost think you're doing a client a disservice when you start busting out those charts, because it's not the accurate reflection. That's where we as advisors need to have this ownership of what pre-33 does for your non-qualified, how it relates to your spot price. But, you know, in times of demand like we're in right now, you know, newsflash, they don't make a pre-1933 coin anymore. So it's the simple economic principles of supply and demand. And then, hey, we use this for qualified, and it does track a little closer to spot price because you're using, you know, government reporting and different types of products that the government requires. We unpack all that in other trainings, so I'm not going to go into any more for that. But there's a lesson behind this of how we need to be bringing this up to our clients, and a way of a disservice if we do it elsewhere or do it elsewise.
Yeah, and do it empathetically, because think about this, you guys. Our clients are bombarded every day with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages that are trying to get them to think short term. Okay. And we're already designed not to be good investors to begin with. That's why people, you know, buy low and or buy high and sell low all the time, and they panic and they do all these things. And so your language can be calming. It can be centering for them from a conceptual long-term point of view. And that's part of our job, you know, because they're constantly bombarded with the opposite out there every day. And it really just takes the right combination of what we've shared with you today to kind of cause them to go, oh yeah, okay, that's right, you know. So yep.
So yeah, Kerry, I mean, this is obviously great information to unpack and to have in the back of your minds to help, you know, further conduct your fiduciary responsibilities for your clients, but also to make sure your clients have that proper mindset for their positioning. Now, remember, they're, you know, during a review, they're probably going to go back to their, you know, preconceived notations of what's it done for me recently. So that's where we as advisors need to just remind them of their original position, to not get further away from it, but to remind them of why you did what you did. And it's doing what, like we said before, gold and silver is doing exactly the way it's supposed to, carry, right?
That's exactly right. So I hope this was helpful to you today. That was how pricing actually works and how to communicate that the best way to your clients. Have a great day. We'll see you in the next podcast.